Good afternoon. It's good to be back. Did everybody have a good summer? It's good. We missed a couple of months because we were all traveling and different things. And if this is your first time, we want to welcome you. And if it is, could you raise your hand? Just raise it up real high. Good. Let's welcome them. Glad you're here today. And afterwards, I'm going to be standing up front here, and I'd love to meet you if I've never met you before. And if you brought somebody, introduce them to me, or if you came and don't know me, I'd love just to say hi to you. We also have the networking afterwards, so where the kiosks are back there, there'll be coffee and some desserts, and if you want to stay around, you're welcome to do that. But if you have to go, we understand that because we all are in business and have responsibilities, but we're glad you're here today. Real simply, Boca Lead is a group of people that gather on a monthly basis, and as Stefan said, we have an opinion and a belief that we live in a great city. Now, Stefan's in Fort Lauderdale, you might be up in West Palm, all of South Florida, but I do have a prejudice for Boca Raton, I have to say that. So wherever you are, it's good, but we believe that Boca Raton is a great place, and South Florida is. And we have a goal of raising the bar of integrity, raising the bar of character, so that as people do business, they live, they grow their families here, they want to be here, and they know that they have a place to do it in. And you see, we have 350 people here today that are at least moving in that direction, and we're excited about that. So every month we do a different subject, and this year we're taking a large subject, a very difficult one, and that is, you make a difference. I truly believe that every person does make a difference. Now, on Sundays, I'm going to be teaching on, starting next week, it's not all about you. So the question is, I'm saying, you make a difference, but yet it's not all about you. How does that work? Let me illustrate it to begin. David Brooks, the New York Times columnist. He's one of my favorite columnists. He's on public radio and public TV. He's a great commentator. He's not flashy. But he talked about one night he was coming home from a late night of Sunday talk shows, and he was heading home. I think he lives in Connecticut from New York, so he's got this long drive. So he's listening to public radio, of course, because that's who employs him. And there was an old radio show on called Command Performances. It was a show that was on during World War II. Now, this was just this past year. And it was a great show, and it was hosted by guys like Bing Crosby, Frank Sinatra, Bob Hope, Marlena Dietrich, Burgess Meredith from Rocky fame, all those guys. They were a part of this, and every Sunday they would have this Command Performance, and they were replaying one of them as he was driving home. And the episode they were replaying was VJ Day. Now, VJ Day is Victory in Japan, the end of World War II, which I believe was August 15th, 1945, so 70 years ago, and they're replaying it. And so he's listening to these guys, and then they brought on some generals and different people, and he said this. He said he was amazed at how humble they were when the reality was they had just won the greatest war in modern history. And he said, yeah, throw your hat up, and he said, do these things, but they did it with such humility and such self-effacement, and it was unique for Brooks. He said, I just wasn't ready to hear this. You know, we've heard these guys sing and we hear these people do things, but he had never heard it on the day we won the war as the Allies. They weren't like doing high five fist punches at each other. They were saying that it was hard work. A lot of people died. A lot of money was spent, but thank God we won. So he walks into his house after listening to that for a half hour, and his kids are watching Sunday night football. And right when he walked in, big screen TV, he said the quarterback, and I don't think he's big into football because he didn't give any names, so he just said the quarterback threw the pass to the end ran 2 yards and got hit by a defender and dropped down, and the defender went out in the middle of the football field and did a dance unlike anything he had ever seen, as if stopping a 2-yard play really meant anything in this world. And he was holding in his mind the self-effacement of men and women who changed the world with a guy who did nothing but stop another guy from advancing beyond 2 yards. And he said, there's something wrong here. yes, we are great, but we're not that great. And he started a journey. He wrote a book out of it called The Road to Character. It's on the New York Times bestseller business book. You might want to read it. It's a wonderful book where he takes about 10 people through that journey. But it started me on this journey because if I'm anything, I'm an inspirer and an encourager and a motivator. I believe we do make a difference in this world. But yet, there is a point that it doesn't make a difference, that other people make differences. So we're going to begin to look at that today and kind of hold that in the balance of we are successful, we should be proud about that, we want to make money, we want to be the biggest, we want to be the best, but yet there is a sense that it's just not about me and it's just not about you. So can we do that today? I just want to give you four things as we begin this journey. Next month, I'm going to actually do some tools for your business to help you through this. But the first one is this. Take a deep, honest look at yourself. Have you ever done that? It's a little scary, by the way, if you do this. To take a deep, honest look at yourself. I believe no one can lead someone else unless they can lead themselves. Personal leadership is paramount. We all teach people how to lead others. That's what all these schools are about. That's what we do here at Boca Lead. That's what I do a lot. I travel all around the world. I just got back from Africa 2 weeks ago, where we work with about 30 groups of people, and we connect them. I teach them how to lead organizations. We teach people how to lead others, but there is a sense where we got to learn how to lead ourselves first. Dwight Eisenhower was the head of the Allied expeditionary forces in Europe. Remember Dwight Eisenhower? Now, you and I don't remember him probably, but our parents remember him. I was born at the end of his presidency. He was asked, so Dwight Eisenhower was the general of World War II in the Europe theater. He became the president of one of the best universities in the world, Columbia. Then he became the president of the United States twice in the time of incredible growth of the 1950s. At the end of all that, a journalist said, "What was the most important thing that ever happened to you?" Actually, he said, or she said to him, "What was the best day of your life? Was it D-Day? Was it the VE Day? Was it the day that you walked into Berlin? Was it the day you became president? Was it the day you became the president of Columbia University?" And Eisenhower said, "No. None of it." He said, "It was Halloween in my 8th year." And the commentator, what was with Halloween when you're 8 years old? He said, "When I was 8 years old, my mother dressed us up and allowed my brothers and siblings and cousins to go way down the street and to trick or treat. But I, being 8, could only stay around the neighbors and only go around the neighborhood, just the one block area." And he said, "I came back to our house while my brothers are down the street and sisters, all having a great time." And he said, "I was so angry, I started beating the tree." Have you ever seen kids do this? They beat their head against something, you know, they're just totally in anger over something and rage, he said, "and I was that. And my mother came to me and said these words," interestingly enough, quoted by King Solomon, that said, "He who conquers his soul controls the world. He who conquers his soul is stronger than he who conquers the city." And he said, "That is why I was the best general of the 20th century, because I knew how to take control of myself." And I would say, as you look at, are you the best? Is your business the best? How do we grow? You need to begin to look inward in this. So number two, how do we do this? The next one is find your voice. Now I have voice in quotes. Again, you remember when your mom or dad yelled towards you as a child? Did you know their voice? You knew their voice. Why? You could find their voice. In a crowd like this, by the way, my mother and father are here. They're in their 80s, and they're here. If my father said something right now in the din of all this, I would hear it. Why? Because I have found my father's voice. I know my father's voice very well. I know my mother's voice. The question is, have you found your voice? A few years ago, we had the debates here in Boca. You remember we had the vice presidential debates at FAU a couple years ago, and then we had the presidential debates at Lynn University. I happened to be out of the country both times. So I got to watch Boca Raton through other people's eyes, and it was a great thing, by the way. It was an incredible thing to watch. So I'm watching the vice presidential debates, and one of them said something funny, and the crowd began to laugh. Out in the audience, dark. And I heard my friend. I have a friend who's not here, but other friends there. I won't even use his name because you'll all know him. He has a very infectious laugh. And I went to him the next week and I said, "You were at the vice presidential debates." He goes, "How'd you know? You were out of the country." I said, "I heard your voice." I can't tell you what Joe Biden or Paul, what's his name, said, but I do remember what my buddy did. He laughed. Why? I understood his voice. Do you know your voice? Now, what does that mean in business? Earlier this summer, just before we went on this trip, we had a water incident in our ceiling. You know, the old air handlers they put up in the ceiling, and they have these things, and they have the things that stop it from overflowing. Well, it all went south, and water everywhere, and of course it all comes down, and then you know you got fiberglass and you got all this blown insulation that's soaked, right? Thank goodness it was in a room I could shut the door on. I called a contractor who I know and I said, "Would you come now?" It's right in the middle of the day. I said, "Now." He said, "I'll be there in 2 hours." 2 hours later, he is there. I don't want mold. I don't want wet. He did it all. And he got rid of it all. And it was just a total mess, the ceiling, everything. And then he handed me his bill. I said, "Great." And so I called my insurance guy up, lady, and I said, "This is what happened." She came over, the adjuster came over the next day and said, "Wow, that's an expensive bill, just clean this up." And I said, "Well, that's not the half of it. We got to fix it now." And so I got an estimate from my contractor. She said, "It's too expensive." I said, "Wait a minute." I said, "I know their voice. When they tell me they'll do something, they do it. When they tell me they'll do it at a certain time, they do it. When they tell me they'll do it for this price, they're not going to add it on. I know their voice." And she said, "It's too expensive." 2 months later, I convinced her. We're getting the work done now. I said, this week she said, "I finally get it. You want to use them, they're too expensive, but I'll pay for it." And she goes, "Why?" After all this, she goes, "Why would you use these over someone else?" I said, "Because I know their voice. I understand the work that they do. As I look across here, I see some of you who I do business with. I know your voice. I know that when you say something, you will do it." And that is so important because that is where personal integrity comes in. I am tired of people saying one thing and doing another. That's a part of why we do Boca Lead. I just want people to be consistent, to be personally consistent with their voice. Now we're talking business. Let me just ask you, are you personally consistent with your business voice? Each of us have a different business. Some of us are in service. Some of us are in hard goods. Some of us do medical, educational. It's all different things. Nonprofits, we got several tables of nonprofits here. Every one of us do something, but is our voice the same? And you'll all shake your heads like the little thing in the back of the Chevy, right? You're going to shake your heads. The bobblehead, yes. But let me give you an example. They do these surveys of what people want of their bosses and what bosses want of their employees. And there's always one thing at the top of this list, and it's honesty. Honesty is always at the top of the list. Other things are near looking forward, competence, inspiring. All those things are right at the top, but always at the top is honesty. So if I asked you, "Are you honest?" all of you would shake your head yes. I would shake my head yes, because we look at honesty versus theft. We look at honesty versus big lies, and that's true. You are not stealing from your company. You're not, you know, I get that. But are you really honest? And this is where it hit me. And I realized, and here I'm a pastor, so I'm going to make a confession. I'm not always honest. And what do I mean by that? I have certain values that are higher than honesty. and I didn't even know it. One of them is, I hate conflict. I will do anything to get out of conflict, which means that I might not always be honest so I can get out of that conflict. Some of you are people pleasers. People pleasing sometimes is a higher value than honesty. Think about it. Isn't it? Have you ever thought that there are times when you are not totally honest? I didn't realize this until I came to the church here where you got to be honest all the time, right? Can't fake it here. You got to be honest all the time. And so I have, one of my gifts is I'm an encourager. I'm a motivator. So someone will come to me with an idea. Well, I want to encourage them. I want to motivate them, but it's a stupid idea. So I have a conflict. I have a conflict, right? Do I tell the truth or do I encourage them, motivate them, all the rest? So my encourager motivator gene is sometimes above my honesty gene. And I didn't realize this. You do this blindly because you do it all your life, right? So you're not dishonest in the sense of lying or stealing, but you're really not truthful. And I realized this when one of my people came to me and said, you always say the same thing when you're not being honest. I said, you can tell? This is what it was. And so now we laugh about it, and it's true. If I use this phrase, that is interesting, that is the death wish. That is me screaming, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard, but because I'm nice, I have niceness over honesty, I have encouragement over honesty, so I just tell them, if you hear the word interesting in a conversation, just move on. But the Bible just tells us, tell the truth, right? We're told, just tell the truth. But it says, tell the truth in love. So you don't tell the truth as some obnoxious person. There's a sense of love that is included in telling the truth. But some of us avoid that and just say, you know what? I'm not going to tell the whole truth. And in business, you have to give bad news to people. I have lawyers here. I have realtors here. I have insurance people here. I have doctors here. You got to tell the truth to your people. Because the truth will come out at some point. So the integrity of having your voice be one of truth, that's only one little thing. Just think about it. For me, that I, if you had said, Bill, you're an honest guy, I'd say, I am an honest guy. But the reality is, I hedge my honesty. And sometimes we hedge our integrity. And I'm just saying, be careful not to hedge your integrity. Not be a person of integrity. Now, the third one is this. Live out your values. Live them out. So that's the sister of finding your voice. Find it and then live it out. That's practice what you preach. Talk matches the walk. All those things you hear. Because we do it. And that then brings in character. So integrity and character are sisters, but they're a little different. Because I can have bad integrity. Just as long as I'm consistent, I can be consistently a liar. I can be consistently a thief. I can be consistently stealing from the company. I can be consistently lazy. That's still having integrity because I'm consistent. We're talking about integrity that has character attached to it. And how do we look at character within ourselves? So how do we do this? Let me give you three thoughts on this character. The first one is about you. Me. So when I say me, I mean you individually. What do you think and what do you feel about that character quality? When I put character and, you could put anything here you want to put. You could put hard work, you can put competence, you can put love, you can put generosity, you can put compassion. We have great ministries here that give away things. Compassion, you can put honesty. Honesty and what I think and how I feel. That's looking inward. And that's what a lot of people teach us only. Look inward, find it in yourself, and that's good, but that is not all of it. I have to tell you, looking inward is very important, but it's not the only thing. The second part is, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about the values and character that you have? And that is looking out. So it's not enough to say, I want to be honest. And then not be honest. I want to be generous and not be generous. I want to go and volunteer. And I hear so many people tell me this because now that I'm a pastor, they confess their sins to me. I'm not a confessor. I'm a pastor, not a priest. There's a place for that, but I don't do that. But they come to me and say, I would really like to do such and such. And I always look at them, I say, well, then go do it. Don't tell me, go do it. I want to help the community and do A, B, and C, and I'll go do it. You know, there's people here and they go, just do it. And when you do what you think you should do or how you feel you should do, there's an incredible consistency of walking and talking the same language. And I would encourage you to talk it right, but also walk it right. Now, there's a bad part to this. Can I give it to you? Then people will look at you when your walking is different than your talking and go, you're not living consistent. You're a hypocrite. And haven't we seen hypocrites around lately all through, you know, whether it's political, it's in the nonprofit world, it's in business. We have seen this, right? Where we say one thing and we do another. Now, I would add a third part to this, if I could, and that is looking up. Now, this is not a church service, so just relax, but there is a sense that we need to be anchored to something beyond ourselves. I just want you to know that. If you are only anchored into your thinking and into your feelings, and then you go act upon your own anchor, we're not really anchored. We're just kind of moving about. And I would suggest that you look up. I'm not going to say any more about that, but the reality is this, even in the thing of why is honesty important? Because Jesus said, I am the truth. You know, he said, hey, truth is important. You know, there are some anchors we need to have, and I think it's important. So looking in, looking out, and looking up are three things as you begin to develop your character, your voice. We have young people here. I love this group because we've got people that have been in business for 60 years, like my dad, and we have people that have been in business for 6 months, and everybody in between. I love this setting because it's just everybody comes, and we're all equal here. There's no better, you know, there's not the executive group here and then the, you know, the young group over. It's everybody is connected here. But for all of us, think about these three, looking in, looking out, and looking up. Number four, back to the original three, and here comes model the way. Have a personal example of acting the way you should act. And this is where I come back to Boca Raton for a moment, because we have had a reputation over the years of businesses that don't do that. And I just want to encourage you, be a business person, the education, the medical, whatever you're in, and be a model to what we should have. Have character. Develop it. So look into yourselves, find your voice, have that personal character development, and then model it and do it. And it is an amazing thing because I believe, I'm not here to talk about money, I'm not here to talk about success, but I believe if you do this, these other things follow suit. They just follow. It follows like day follows night, follows day follows night, that it is. Because if you want the short buck, you want the short answer, you'll get it. There are ways. But I look at people and you laugh at some of these older people who are here that are in business, that have been in business 30, 40 years, but they're still here because of what they have done in integrity. And I think it's a great thing. Now, I brought something here as we close. I brought a little toy. And my people that go to my church have seen this, but do you know what this is? Well, it's a red lantern, right? It's a gas lantern or kerosene. I don't have anything in it, so don't worry. It's empty. But years ago, in our country and in Europe, the railways became very important. Railways. And it was mostly carrying people. So there was an engine, a couple of cabin railways, and then a caboose. And then as the Industrial Revolution came in the mid-1800s, they realized they could carry goods on these railways. And so, but the problem was there was no longer a caboose on the end of the railroads lines. There was the engine or two or three engines, then dozens, if not 100 cars. And then they would go into a town, and they didn't have one railway. They would go into it, if you've ever been to Chicago, into the yards of Chicago, which are gorgeous to see. You see, there might be 20 lines. And so they come into Chicago, and they'll take off four or five cars, and then add a car, and then take off. And what was happening was they were leaving cars behind because they would come in, and they didn't know. And so the way they stopped leaving cars behind was to put a lantern on the last car. So the engineer would come out, the lantern was on the last car, it was before GPS and before phones and all the other two-way radios, and he would signal to the engineer at the front who was operating it, said, you can go because every car is on this railway right now, and you are ready to go. And the only way they knew this was because of the red lantern that was lit, if it was night, maybe not lit if it was day, hanging on the back of the last one. And my question to you is that do you have these four on your own railway? We need to have them. At the turn of the century, 1900s, there was a sporting event started in 1901, I believe, or 1900, called the Tour de France. You know the bike race? Well, nowadays, the bike race, it's 2,100 miles around France and Spain and Belgium, and they close the roads, and they do about 100 miles a day for 21 days, right? And they have those slick outfits and the $15,000 bikes, and it's wonderful, and I watch it, and you want to see who's the king of the mountains, who the king of the sprinters are, who gets the yellow jersey. Well, back at the beginning, they didn't have any of that. And they didn't even close the roads. So the bikers were biking on roads that were open. And they were just told, you got to get to that town by the end. And they timed them. And no one knew where the end of the bike race was. Because they didn't even have outfits. They just were on bikes, as others were on bikes. And the last person in the race, they would paint a red lantern on their back. It was called the Lantern Rouge. I don't speak French, but the red lantern. And the last person had a red lantern painted on the back of their jersey to show that they were connected to the race. Whether it's the railroad or the bike race, or now you in your life, the question I ask, do you have these things connected in your life? Do you, number one, study yourself, know yourself, work with yourself, understand that? Have you found your voice? Do you have personal character? And then the last is, are you modeling it? The modeling it is holding so that people know that the lantern is there in your life. And I think if we put these things together, it is incredible the things that you can do, or I can do, your company can do, or my company or church can do. Now, the quote at the bottom, let me just read that quote to you real quick. You do make a difference, not because you are better than others, but because there is a purpose to your life, and there is a reason you are here. And when you grab a hold of that, that train is going to move. And people are going to want to be on that train with you. And I encourage you, this year, as we begin a new business cycle, you're back from vacations, your kids and grandkids are in school, that we move forward with it. Thank you.